This has become one of my all-time favorites because I'm in the Threshold Choir. We sing at the bedside at hospice in three-part harmony and a cappella. It's the most sacred way I've ever used my voice. So being a survivor of cancer four times now, being close to death and dancing with that and embracing, putting my arms around that has all become a part of the way I live and maybe die. So maybe you all can tell me why I chose this song. None of us is gonna live forever. Each of us is born, then lives, then dies, at least this body. And even though we're all in this together, our days are numbered, each one a surprise. So I'm grateful for the time I have among you. Grateful for the lessons learned and shared. I'm so grateful for a lifetime full of music. Daily I am blessed beyond compare. So when my healing comes in the form of dying, when my healing comes in the form of leaving this life, I will open wide to the choir of angels. When my healing comes in the form of death, when my healing comes in the form of dying, when my healing comes in the form of leaving this life, I will open wide to the choir of angels. When my healing comes in the form of death, when my healing comes in the form of death.
Thank you. Thank you. Beloved and holy and only child of our Heavenly Father, child of the one source, child of light, divine. That is who you are. Take it deeply within the consciousness and contemplate what that means. Child of light, divine, always and forever. I am the one known as Jeshua ben Joseph. Jesus, you have called me, and it is in great joy that I come to abide with you this evening in your timing, as you have chosen once again to call me forth. Great joy of reunion every time we get to speak in this way. Great joy of reunion when we speak within the mind, because truly we speak heart to heart. And we do not have to have the tones of the voice, but it is fun to have the tones of the voice and to talk, to sing. But there is a space, a very huge space, where we abide together, always and forever. Never are you lost. One's fear, down through the ages, there has been fear of releasing the body. and fear of what is going to happen to me. Am I going to be lost in the great void? No, you will never be lost. It is a surprising occurrence for everyone who releases the body to find that they are still alive and wondering what happened. They can see the body, no longer needed, lying somewhere, discarded, finished, the beloved body that has served them well. Every body serves you according to your divine purpose that you have chosen in a lifetime. And many question because of the teachings that they have had up to that point. They wonder, how can this be? Where am I? Where am I going to go? What am I going to do? And that is where the angels come and speak and talk with you to tell you that, yes, you have just moved into another chapter in the book of life, because always and forever you are life. The experiences, yes, are different. You trade in certain constrictions of human life into another expression, seemingly without form, concrete, hard form. But you do have form, because the light that you are is forever. So do not take upon yourself the heaviness of fear, the heaviness of fear of change. Your supposed learned ones in your, as it is called, churches, your religious masters, have spoken to you down through the ages the best they knew how. They forgot. As the small one is born, the small one remembers love, ease of being. But very soon the body begins to scream. The body begins to say, take care of me. I hurt. I hunger. I need. And the love, the all-encompassing love from which the small one has come, is put aside. And then the worldly teachings come in to take care of the body. But in truth, you are never lost. You can never be lost, except as a momentary, perhaps, fear, passing fear. But it passes, because loved ones who have released the body ahead of you, they come to meet you. They are happy to be with you once again, and you feel their energy, you feel their love, you feel that they are reaching out and assisting you to make the very slight transition into new life. So expect to meet loved ones. Expect to meet beloved pets. Yes, they do ascend. When they release the form, they have choice to ascend, and they will be there waiting for you, especially the ones that you are very close to. They cannot go anywhere away from you. That which has been love in a certain segment of life does not cease in any form. The same as the winged ones, the same as the ones that swim in the water. If you have been close to them, you have had communication, wordless communication, they will be there in essence to meet you if it is your desire. So what I'm trying to say, bottom line, take this to heart, is you lose nothing. In fact, you gain. When you release the body, you gain what you have always had, the infinite being of you, waiting for you to acknowledge it once again. So you lose nothing. There is fear quite often that when I release the body, I'm going to be lost. There is fear when you release the body that I'm going to lose everything that has been dear to me. Maybe if my parents have pre-deceased me, as it is called, maybe I'll meet them. And yes, you will. But I'll be lost. No, you can never be lost. You will always be alive. Form may be different, or you may not have form. You may choose to be just the essence of love for a while. And then there is a question that comes to you. I wonder what it would be like. And with that question, there is often new birth into form. Maybe not human form. Maybe a form that you haven't even thought about. Because you are infinite beings. You are infinite spirit. And you are forever ongoing. Past the concept of time. Time is quite limiting, you know. I know that you know that. You feel you have to be at a certain place at a certain time. And there is a feeling of, oh, I have to hurry up, and I have to get everything together, and I have to get in my vehicle and probably drive faster than is easy to do, to get to wherever I'm going on time. Well, as we have spoken in other times, you are the maker of time, and you are the one who can make time elastic. You can stretch it. You can leave home 5 minutes late for your meeting and arrive 5 minutes early. And when you get to the place where the acknowledgement is real within your thinking, you will experience it. You will know it. It will happen. And you will say, oh, but I don't know. It shouldn't happen. But it did. You do miracles. Every day, you think that miracles are just something magic that maybe ones who are a little bit wiser, older, have read the right books or listened to the right teachers, maybe they're able to do miracles. You do a miracle every morning when you open the eyes and you realize, oh, here I am in, let's see, what year do you call this? 2018. Wow. Sounds like a big number. Wow. And then you have gone back and you have even more time before the beginning of the counting to get to 2018. You see how creative you are, even with the reckoning of time. And there are other systems of reckoning of time, which blows the mind sometimes. But you like to use your mind. That is why you have created mind. It is to play with it. It is to go where no one has gone before. To experience that which seems to be unknown. And yet, even as you contemplate it, it is known. Because you are creating moment by moment. That is how fantastic you are. You create the fluffy tail on the dog. You create the smile that the dog will give you, the sound of the hello of the dog, the language. And as you sit with an animal, a four-footed one, or perhaps the winged one, or the one that swims, even the two-footed animals. As you sit with them, you begin to know their secrets. Because in truth, there is no secret. Everything is known if you go deep enough into it. Life in any form is to be celebrated. It is to be enjoyed, to live it in joy, because you are creating for the sole purpose of love. And if you feel that your existence does not have love in it, there is one very easy and very quick remedy for that. You go and you look into the eyes of the one who stands before you, and there is love because you give it. Love is not about receiving. Love is about giving. And it matters not how many years you have accumulated since you had the certificate that said you were born. It matters not what the number is. Any age, you can fall in love. You have ones of your friends who can tell you this, that I thought my life was pretty well finished. I'd already had, this is out of history, I already had 18 wives. I had 232 children, and I saw 468 grandchildren. And I thought, at my age, the number that I had accumulated, I thought I was finished. And then someone walked into my life and looked deeply into my eyes and loved me. And I was young again. Every day you can be young again. It takes only the desire and the decision to be in love with life. You know that. Every day. Every day you discover something new. Every day is different.
It's not another day, it's really another new day.
Exactly. Another new day with adventures waiting for you to discover them. You'll get something in the mail or the email, and it's like, oh, that's a new idea. And you sit with it, and you have a new friend. You sit with it, and it opens up possibilities. And you are again the 4-year-old, the 7-year-old, the 11. And you say, wow, okay, I didn't know I could do this. You keep living, hopefully, until you are finished with the form, until you release the form. You're still living after you release the form in a perhaps a different way, but you're still living. But you have been taught down through the ages to fear the releasement of the body. I will not call it death, because it is not death. You do not ever cease being. That's the exciting part. And then separated ego said, oh no, oh, I have to learn things all over again? I thought I had it all worked out. Separated ego, because it is thinking it is separate, is in fear. But never do you have to be in fear. No matter how many sunrises and sunsets you have seen, there is always one more. One more to enjoy, to live in joy with it. We have been speaking in the certain volume of the book that is the sort of basis for this gathering. We have been speaking about the reality from which you draw your each seemingly separate and individual reality, lowercase r, and how to acknowledge, how to touch, how to experience, how to feel the interdimensionalness of you. Yes. We make up words. We have to. Because truly, as you have experienced, words are limiting. Sometimes you will use a word and then you will have to describe what you mean by that word, and then the description doesn't exactly fit exactly what you want to say, so you add a few more words to it, and before you know it, you have a whole paragraph trying to explain a concept that when you are in the reality, again, lowercase r, of mind-to-mind communication, you don't have to have words for. And you know that reality because you have been there. And sometimes in this reality where you have a custom of having to use words, you want to really go back to the simplicity of mind-to-mind so that you don't have to find the exact definitive word. It's a bit of a nuisance sometimes, but you do very well with it. And then the most amazing thing happens. You find a friend who is from a different location, and they speak perhaps the same words, but differently. And you have to sort of move the ear a bit to catch the, what you call, accent, and see what they are saying. Same word, but it sounds different. And then you meet someone who has grown up in another geographical location farther away, and they speak a totally different sound pattern, language. And you wonder, how did this all come about, that we use sound, and yet sounds can mean different things? And then part of you harkens back to the time when there was the mind-to-mind communication and you didn't have to have sounds that sometimes get in the way because you say something and you mean something by what you say in sound, and somebody hears it totally differently and they think perhaps that you have judged them, whereas you are actually complimenting them on the most wondrous hair. And there can be all sorts of confusion that arises. But you see how creative you are. At one point upon Holy Mother Earth, a certain sound means a certain definition. You go maybe several hundred miles or even less than that, and you're into another geographical location where the sounds mean something different. And you have to sort of tune your ear to something new. Then you get a bit frustrated. And instead of saying, well, how creative the Holy Child is, you say, doggone, I have to interpret this. I have to figure out what they mean. But it is creativity. So you look at it as a gift. Hopefully, it is a gift. So we have been speaking about how to reach that place of peace, that place that is beyond all being, beyond all definition, that place which is characterized best in this meaning of love, the expansiveness of love. That's why you have your signs that say, God is love. And it is love. But more than just the hint that you have with human love, it is the love that allows, that creates, that brings forth and nurtures anything and everything you can imagine. It is that energy, I will call it energy because it is creative, that allows you to relax into being, just being. No definition of being, but just unformed, undefined being. And it is the place of home that you often desire, want to return home. Not the physical home that you have known as children here in this form, this reality, but the home that you know in your heart, in your beingness. Home where you are loved with an infinite love, an accepting love that doesn't see anything besides love. Just a place where you can, I will say, exist. Because you will still, if you desire it, you will still know you as you call yourself. So you never lose anything except perhaps the constrictions. And you never lose whatever you have felt was important as your beingness. That will change, yes, because there is no judgment. So your beingness as you have defined it in this reality, that changes because you want it to change, because you desire. You can be as the music of the spheres. You have terminology that approaches definition of the interdimensional place of spirit. You have terminology that gives you a clue. Deep within the recesses of you, you know home. And there are times when you get a bit frustrated with this reality and you say, I want to go home. I want to be accepted. I want to know that I am okay. And you are. And you do return home. There are times when you are in a place of no place, where you know yourself to just be. To be everything. How do you get to that place? By releasing judgments. By releasing definitions. By releasing all that you have thought you had to be. Getting to the place where you are not attached to anything. You are just being. Last evening we did an exercise of meditation, going to the grassy knoll, sitting by the stream of water, going on the grassy knoll up to the tree, to the top of the tree, to the cloud, sitting on the cloud, and just being, feeling the peace of just being. But even that meditation has definition. And what you want to feel, know, experience, is the place of no definition, the place of quiet, the place where the mind does not have to get in and try to define, try to encompass it, to grab hold of it. Because once you reach out to grab hold of it, it escapes. Now the separated ego that you have devised to work with you so well within this reality, lowercase r, separated ego says, well, that's not value. There's nothing of value if you're going to just leave everything. But the truth is, once you have allowed separated ego to be set aside, to thank it for what it has done with you and for you, but to walk on from it, come to that place where there is no definition of reality, you have found peace, true peace. And you can spend as long as you want or as short as you want. But I suggest that you touch that space once in a while, just to know that that is, that it is, and that it exists for you anytime you want to find it. Now, one of the ways is with meditation, shutting out the voice of the world and all of its clamor. But another way to do that is through music and chant. We have one in your midst here who will allow you to experience the letting go of the limited form of peace, to know the true peace of what separated ego is going to say is nothingness, and yet it is all. Please. And this is not something that you have to work at. This is not something that you have to do right. This is just something that you're going to experience. You don't have to try. You don't have to make it right. Some of you have already experienced some of it in this day, but we will have more of it now to allow you to get past separated ego and all of its definition.
Thank you.
It seems sacrilegious to interrupt the peace with words. Do you feel the peace that has descended in this room? Did separated ego get to the point where it said, "This is boring"? It tried, yes. Your, what you call the Eastern religions in a far, as it seems to be, a far country, have a different language, and they have certain chants that they use over and over that feel to separated ego right away, very boring. To say the same syllables over and over. And separated ego says, well, what more there should be, must be more. Oftentimes they are words that in your language are sounds. They aren't words to you with meaning. They are sounds. Om Namah Shivaya, over and over and over and over and over. You can take any word, you can take the word over and say it over and 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 over. And it is holy. And you do this for what you see to be 10 minutes by your clock. And yes, in the beginning, separated ego is going to say, this is boring. When are you going to get on with it? Over and over and over and over. To the place where everything is erased. Everything of meaning is erased. And it takes you to a very peaceful place where there is truly no thought. No separated ego getting in there saying, well, we should be doing whatever. Just to that place that is peace itself. If you want to experience no thought, only being, take one of the sayings from Eastern religion, as it is called. Take one of the sayings that means nothing to you. You don't know how it is translated. And just say it over and over and over for 10 minutes. It will take you to a place of nothingness that separated ego is not going to like. Separated ego is going to say, well, what about that chore that you have to do? What about that letter, email that you have to write? What about? In the beginning, that's what separated ego is going to do. It's going to try to call you back. But if you will persevere with one of the sayings that truly doesn't mean to you anything, but is sound, to the place where everything that is limiting will be erased, will be gone, to the place where you find peace. You don't find peace by chasing it. But you can find peace by certain techniques that allow separated ego to go sit in the corner somewhere and be bored. Separated ego you created to keep you busy. And some of you, especially in this modern time, are very busy. You have your telephone to check up on everything. I see you scrolling down, seeing what there is on this little thing, which is most miraculous. And then you have your bigger screens, as you call them, where you have more information on there. Then you have what used to be a most miraculous invention called the TV. Yes, your far vision, your television. And it brings you in news and information. Then you have calling up someone and talking with them and saying, do you know what happened? So-and-so did such-and-such, and so-and-so said in judgment, etc. And you get quite a bit of separated ego static. That's what I call it. Separated ego calling your attention, saying, pay attention to this, pay attention. And sometimes you get quite caught up in what separated ego is telling you, to the place where you get really annoyed, really angry, and you lose your peace. And then you want to get it back because it really doesn't feel good. After a while, in the beginning, when you lose your peace and you get really angry with something, you've got a lot of energy and you want to use it. And you do, in judgment. But then you take a deep breath and you realize it really didn't solve anything. It really didn't change anything. All it did was, actually, I don't really feel very good right here in the middle of the form. And I don't feel very good up here in the head. So your first step is the deep breath. Stop. Take a deep breath. Let it go. Take another deep breath and yawn. Yawning is holy. When you yawn, you allow the openness. Perfect. And it leads you to a place of more relaxation. More peace, yes. Put out the tongue. Exactly. You have techniques, simple ones. You don't have to pay any money for them. They're just right there, easy to do, if you accept them, if you choose to accept. Separated ego, as we have said, it's not going to like it, because separated ego is going to say, you should be doing. Separated ego is all about doing. Peace is all about being. And the way you get to that place of acknowledging the being is through breathing, chanting to the place of boredom. Some of you had that experience today, where you had words that you were chanting over and over and over and over. And in the beginning of it, separated ego said, this is boring. And then after a while, the sounds that you were making became so automatic that there had to be no thinking. They required no thinking. The sounds were a pattern that just followed one after another to the place where you felt very peaceful. You passed through the judgment of boredom to the place of peace. Now, you don't have to do this. You can live your whole life being quite caught up in separated ego and rushing everywhere. Peace is a choice. Probably never thought about it that way. But peace is a choice. And you don't have to make choice for peace. But I recommend it. It's easier on the body. It's also easier on the spirit. There are ones who find peace in beauty. Ones who will take the lily and look at the lily until you become one with the lily. Or the lavender. Any kind of beauty. I see some of you do this in the evening with your sunset. You look at the sunset and you lose yourself in the colors. You breathe. It becomes for you not even a choice, not something that you have to think about choosing, but you see a beautiful sunset or sunrise if you're up that early, and you see the beauty that you are creating, and you can lose yourself in it, and you come to a place of peace. So you have creative beings that you are. You have all kinds of clues how to reach that interdimensional self, that self that is not attached to any dimension, any form, any judgment. And why do you do this? Because after a while, as you are attached to form and judgment, it doesn't feel good. So you choose anew. I think that is what the interdimensional self could be called. Choosing anew. Choosing to be in that space of oneness. And separated ego, yes, is going to give you all kinds of reasons why you can't spend time, your precious time. You cannot spend time there. You should be doing. And yet, being in the space of oneness is the most blessed place you can be. And then you come out of it and you give love. You come out of it and you look into the eyes of one and you feel quite peaceful because all judgment is gone. And you look upon this one and you see the beauty of this one. How they have fashioned themselves. How they have created that which serves them. And you love. You love that which you see. And at that moment, all form, all division between dissolves. And you abide truly in love. And that can happen in an instant. You can be right up against someone and you can be having the most wonderful argument, definition of something. And all of a sudden, you look into their eyes and you take a deep breath and you feel love. You feel expansive. And that which you were arguing about beforehand, you may actually forget, because it is a no thing. It is a nothing. Never did have to be defined and argued about, except separated ego said, well, I want to be right. I have to prove I am right. I have read all the right books. Therefore, I must know. I'm going to prove it to you. But the best thing you can do to prove it to yourself is to look deeply into the eyes of one who smiles. And you are home. That is home. You know the secret. If ever you are in a discussion with someone else and he wants to be right, she wants to be right, you want to be right. If you stop and you smile, they're going to stop after a while wondering, what the heck is he smiling about? And it changes the energy. It is the easiest trick to smile. The energy changes. After that, you either remember what you were talking about or you forget it. Doesn't matter. In truth, most of the things that humans argue about really does not matter. Because in another 1,000 years, who's going to remember what you were discussing? Nobody. Nobody's going to know. So, beloved ones, does it feel good to abide in peace?
Yes.
Does it feel good to come out of that space? Depending.
You don't have to come out, do you?
No. You have spoken wisely. You keep that space, and then you come to one, and you look with the eyes of love. And that which was before no longer is. Only love. All of you are wise masters. All of you are wise. You play the game of humanhood. Sometimes you get really mad and really upset about something, and you know you're right and they're not right, etc. But that doesn't last very long. All of you are masters who have come truly to play. Sometimes separated ego forgets that part. Separated ego says, well, I have to prove that I have value. Look at all the certificates I have. I graduated from this university, that university. Then I went on to study post-university, etc. But what does it matter? Love only matters. And the funny part of it, the humorous part of it is, you can get just as much or more accomplished in love than in struggle. And it feels ever so much better. That is the end of my discourse. It has been my joy to be among you this evening. To see the smiles, to see the questions that some of you have. It has been my joy always to be with you in love. So be it. He said, well, that was fun, wasn't it? So, I guess you can love each other. You can talk with each other. You can probably have a bit of a repast over there, something sweet. And then on the morrow, we will meet again in the morning for a workshop and more love.